streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles. Hour two, it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. It was interesting to have Joy Taylor joining me, Jimmy Johnson, on earlier. He talked about running games, and he said, first of all, if you have a great running game, it means you practice it. So you build up a better defense and a tougher defense with it during the practice. And then during the game, it helps your defense because your offense doesn't have... Your defense doesn't have to be on the field as long. And so listening to Jimmy say, yeah, it makes you a better defense in practice, and then it makes you a better defense in the games. And it's just like Buffalo's forgotten all that.
Yeah, and it's strange because, you know, they play in Buffalo.
Yeah, I know. And the weather's not great.
Where where it tends to be a little cold and windy, and you might not want to rely on having a finesse offense.
Think about this. New England and Buffalo are in the two harshest weathers outside of maybe Green Bay in the league. New England's the opposite. They're not going to throw you deep at all, and they don't even have to throw. And they can win and lead the division. Buffalo has much more firepower in cold weather, doesn't run at all, and they now trail New England. Those teams are the opposite offensively. Who's leading it? One has a superstar quarterback. One has a kid. Who's leading it? So we fall in love with a lot of things in this league. Just as Jimmy Johnson said, if you're not running the football, you cannot develop a great defense being finesse.
But you just don't want to be one-dimensional either. Like, you have to be able to win multiple ways. I think New England, that's why that win was so impressive to me. Like, if you can win like that, there, in that weather, against a team that should be able to play well in that weather, Like, you can win any way you want to. That's really important.
All right, here we go. Top of hour two on a Monday, as always. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Get a gift card from Jersey Mike's. Easy to send. Couple of minutes. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. And here we go.
Where Colin was right.
You know, Jimmy Garoppolo has an injury history. I would be the first to admit that. But yesterday, 300 yards, two TDs, no picks, 103 passer rating. And once again, he's fantastic in clutch time, end of regulation, and in overtime. Here's what I know. His teammates trust him. Here's what I know. He always gets it to the right guys. It's Kittle. It's Deebo Samuel. It's Brandon Ayuk. He doesn't waste snaps. When you can just give Jimmy G the ball and say, listen, dude, we got about 2:15. Don't overthink the room. He's got a world-class quick release, right people, throws it accurately. Listen, I know the injuries. I never worry about him in crisis. I worry about his health, but I never worry about him. And I've seen him do this four or five times this year. Couple minutes left, you got to drive down the field, you're on the road, and I always have confidence in him, and he beat a pretty good Cincinnati team with a great drive in regulation and a great drive in overtime. He's the only guy in the NFL, he's ninth right now in passer rating. He's the only quarterback in the league that's good, and none of you think he's good. I mean, he's good. We got to come to terms with it. Kyle Shanahan has won 30% of his games in this league when that guy's not his quarterback.
Where Colin was wrong.
Worst week, 1-3, blazing 5. The toughest loss of the year for me was the Browns. A gutting loss, and the Bills was my bet of the year, not so much. Praying for the Cardinals tonight. I stink, and that's just the way the world works this year.
Where Colin was right.
We like Justin Herbert out of college. We think he is still the most under-discussed player in the league. 30 touchdown passes now in both of his first two seasons. No quarterback in league history has done that. And this was a beauty. And why that's so impressive is, last year he had the second worst offensive line in the league, and this year he's got his second coach in 2 years. So he's had some chaos to deal with, and yet 30 touchdown passes in 2 years. And for the record, when you have a new coach or a new system, it generally takes you post-Thanksgiving to get it right. Keep your eye on this team. Right now, last 8-9 quarters, on fire offensively.
Where Colin was wrong.
I had the Buffalo Bills as a 12-5 team. They can't run the ball. In fact, they've given up trying. Josh Allen had 12 carries. The Bills' running backs had 7. They've become incredibly predictable. And frankly, as brilliant as Josh Allen is, I don't want him running this much. That's what Big Ben did. That's what Cam did early. And that's why they're falling apart in their mid-30s. The pass blocking's below average. It's not like their running back Singletary doesn't have talent, but they have, as a cold weather team, completely abandoned the run, and it makes them, as Tampa showed you in the game plan, virtually predictable. You know exactly what they're going to do.
Where Colin was right.
I said, I don't know if Robert Saleh's the guy, but of all the young quarterbacks, my biggest doubts are to Zach Wilson. Completion percentage, passing yards a game, passer rating, TD to interception ratio. Among 32 quarterbacks, he's last in 3 and 29th in 4. He doesn't see the field particularly well. He tries to make plays too often. I don't want to hear about the offensive line. There are far worse offensive lines in the NFL. Zach Wilson was the one quarterback. I thought he was a little bit of a hot dog, a little bit too much trying to be something he's not, a little small for me, not as athletic as he thinks, and he has been so far exactly what I thought would happen.
Where Colin was right.
I had the Green Bay Packers number one a month ago in the herd hierarchy. And last night, 7 yards of play against Chicago, 141 passer rating for Aaron Rodgers, 35 minutes for time of possession. If you're not impressed with what you see with Green Bay, they lost another offensive lineman, another one. It doesn't appear to matter. This team is deep. They still don't have their top corner. Multiple backs, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, both thumpers. They've got depth everywhere on this field. This team, I said when they missed 11 starters and went to Arizona and won, I thought that was one of the most impressive performances of the year, and they just keep topping it.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I didn't think Urban Meyer was going to win games. I didn't think he'd lose the locker room in Jacksonville. Multiple reports that Urban Meyer
has lost his assistants and there's no turning back. I do not believe the reports he's going to be out before the season ends. I think Shad Khan, the owner, is going to give him that. I also think, like most young coaches, he will be given an opportunity to upgrade his staff. But this was always the issue with Urban. It wasn't that he knows football or he doesn't have a presence. The issue was these are pros. They're going to do what they want to do. You're managing personalities. You can't just yell and bark. That's not the way the world works. So it is unraveled. And by the way, Trevor Lawrence, what worries me is Trevor Lawrence has had one touchdown pass in the last six games. So Trevor Lawrence is not growing. Justin Fields, I see growth. Mac Jones, I see growth. Young quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, he's plateaued. And so that's what really worries me because Urban's an offensive guy. That's the side of the ball that should be, they're not scoring. They're not moving the ball at all.
Where Colin was right.
People think I hate the Raiders. I've said for years, they're the worst owned team in the league and one of the most poorly run. And they're a poorly run franchise. And when they were in the playoff hunt, I said they're not a playoff team. They're too chaotic. It's why, by the way, Los Angeles, Stan Kroenke, chose the Chargers and the Rams. This organization can't get out of its own way. Yesterday was a humiliating, degrading performance, not competitive. What's that nonsense? Arrowhead Stadium standing on the logo. It's just nonsense and poor leadership and poorly owned and poorly run and poorly coached. There's a difference between being a hater and being right. And with the Raiders for a decade, I've simply been right. Next to the Lions in Cleveland, there's an argument to be made. They're the most dysfunctional organization in the entire NFL in two decades.
Where Colin was right.
Anthony Davis, hurt again. Listen, the Lakers thought they were getting a number one, but what they were getting physically, availability, and emotionally was a number two. Anthony Davis is now hurt again. Listen, he's not a savior. What he is absolutely gifted. He's very much James Harden. If he's your number two player, you can win a championship. But he doesn't have the makeup to be a number one, to elevate others, to be the first in, the last out. He's not a grinder. What he is absolutely gifted. But personality and reliability, Anthony Davis has always been a two. You just thought it was the Pelicans' fault, and instead, it was a reality of what AD is. One of the best twos of all time in the NBA. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong on a Monday. Trent Dilfer around the corner. Good stuff today. Doug Flutie stops by as well. So great having Jimmy Johnson on. The 1 o'clock window was terrible. The late window was fantastic. You know, it's interesting looking this morning. So seven teams each conference make the playoffs. So I didn't have Tennessee in the AFC. I thought they would go down. They didn't. And I didn't have Arizona in the NFC. But this morning, 12 of 14 playoff teams we got right. So on a macro level, we're good. Picking games this year, I've been nonsense the whole year. But if you take a deep breath and step back, it's a lot of good coaches, a lot of good defenses, and a lot of really good quarterbacks. Of the 14 teams, that's mostly what you have. The NFC is a little top-heavy. The AFC is more diluted and watered down. But it looks like we're going to have overwhelmingly, outside of Tennessee and Arizona, the teams we thought and predicted would get to the playoffs.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Elite quarterbacks take center stage on Thursday Night Football as Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs take on Justin Herbert and the Chargers at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video.
That is a really good Thursday night game.
Yes, looking forward to it.
That's at SoFi, right? Where's that game at? Is it SoFi? Oh, good. So we get good weather game. We don't have to worry about that.
Yes, it is at SoFi.
Because there's a big storm over the next 24 hours, it's moving through the Rockies. I don't want any weather to disrupt Herbert and Mahomes.
I know everyone thinks it's like football weather.
It's no fun. I'm going to watch my quarterbacks upright.
A little chilly. The best football weather is a cold fall evening.
49, 50. It's just a little brisk.
Yeah.
Little brisk. Trent Dilfer, 15 years, a Super Bowl, a Pro Bowl. His high school team, Lipscomb Academy, just won the state championship in Nashville, Tennessee, beat their rival CPA. So congratulations to that. How about that? That's pretty cool, right? That is funny. You know, you've won a Super Bowl and a state championship, and it's hard to compare. But the reality is you're elevating young people now. Like, you were just with pro athletes, and you guys are all going to eat, right? But then now you won a state championship from a program that was kind of in disarray. I wonder what how it lands for you emotionally, what you did, and how it feels differently.
It's a great question. I like the words you used, elevate. It's more rewarding. It really is. The feeling of satisfaction, seeing the joy on the kids' faces, the parents' faces, the administration, this school, this community was kind of beat down when we got here. Now to elevate it to a place where they have a lot of pride and they're proud of the hard things they've done and the accomplishments they've had. And we're only going to get better. I think that's the other thing. We're only going to get better in years to come. And it's been an exciting time and very humbled by what we've been able to accomplish here.
You know, Trent, you go back. I covered you in Tampa. When you watch Brady and Rodgers, we were saying this earlier, so they were really good. And then the sport decided, we're going to modify the rules, and they're all going to benefit you. And people don't understand. You used to be able to grab wide receivers. And just so you go back to pass, and your receivers are being wrestled down. Wide receivers did not want to go over the middle. Like, there was a term called alligator arms. Like, nobody wanted. Now everybody goes over the middle. You can't touch anybody. I watch Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like,
part of me thinks he's bored. It's why he creates these little mini conflicts just to keep himself. Michael Jordan did this. But I watch Aaron and Tom, and I almost feel bad, Trent. You could grandfather in 7 wins a year. When you watch them play, the process, Aaron and Tom, it looks different than other quarterbacks. It looks more effortless.
It's an unfair fight. It really is, because both these players played at a time when playing quarterback was much harder. And I'm not taking anything away from the modern-day quarterback. I'm as bullish on the modern-day quarterback as anybody. But when you talk to especially Tom Brady, that played the first part of his career when you could get hit as a quarterback, that you know your body hurt on Mondays, that you couldn't throw the ball across the middle, your receivers were being rerouted constantly, there wasn't as much grass to play around with in the passing game. I can go on and on and on. And now he's playing where, like you said, the rules just benefit him as much as any human on the planet. It's an unfair fight for the defenses. I feel really badly for defensive coordinators and defensive players in the National Football League. They are fighting an unfair fight when they play against these top-tier quarterbacks that understand the advantage that they have. I think you mentioned that one of the biggest things, which is the ability to throw the ball across the middle without risk. Back when Tom started playing, or you go to the 90s, think about John Elway and Steve Young and Troy Aikman and that generation of quarterback. You just didn't think about making certain throws because your receiver would come back. He'd just walk off the field. and then I think the biggest thing, though, is that you just can't hit them. I mean, these guys have so much confidence of holding the ball in the pocket. They can move and slide around the pocket. Drives get extended because people fall around their feet. Their face mask might get hit by a hand that went up to deflect a ball. And they know it. They're giggling inside because it's such an easier position to play right now than it was when Tom started playing it.
I was talking to the staff this morning. I don't know this to be true, but it feels right. Is that I argue Jimmy Garoppolo is a good-looking guy. He's got confidence, right? Every room he walks into, he's the handsome guy. He's better almost in crisis than he is middle of the game. He overthinks it. He holds the ball too long. And then you put him 2:12 left in a timeout. And Trent, he can't overthink it. He's got a quick release. He's got to get the ball out. He's going to Kittle. It's weird. When I watch him, I'm like, I actually trust him more with 2:15 left when he doesn't outthink the room and hold the ball too long. He just has to be innate, quick, go. And then in the middle of the game, I'm like, oh, he hold. No, Jimmy. Explain this to me, because that's what my eyes tell me. He's better in urgency.
Yeah, I don't know if I can explain it. I agree with you. He's better in a frenetic situation. If you go back and watch him in college, he played in a frenetic offense. So I think it's kind of his DNA, how he grew up playing the game. You get these guys that they grow up playing the position a certain way. Hair's on fire. Every play is the most important player. Always throw, you know, rolling around trying to make something out of nothing. And then you put them in these structured offenses, the NFL, and they're trying to do it the right way. They're compliant. They want to be that type of quarterback, but their instincts, their DNA goes back to how they started playing the game. It's not uncommon. I look at this when we do draft prep every year for the draft. I'm like, hey, this, you do this talent, like this guy's really talented, blah, 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 blah. But where does he fit based on his quarterback DNA? So I think Jimmy's stuck in that weird place where he only in certain moments can he resort back to who he really is as a quarterback. And you see him play at a higher level in those moments when he's trying to be structured, when he's trying to play in this system that Kyle Shanahan's built. He struggles enough because it's not instinctive to him.
You know, you said confidence, and I think we forget sometimes even the greatest athletes. They go in slumps. A-Rod at one point was dropped to 8th in a batting order. He lost it. We've seen this with golfing. When you've got a lot of time to think about stuff, it can get in your head. We see it in baseball. You only get 4 at-bats. We see it in golf. We don't think about it in football. But, you know, I when I look at Dak, I think to myself, okay, he's a little banged up. And if you're a little banged up, you've ever fallen off a motorcycle, it takes a while to get back on that puppy. So I think Dak's better than his last 6 to 7 weeks. I've never thought he's an artistic, easy thrower like a Herbert, Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. What do you see? Because he's clearly, Dak's clearly in a funk. What do you see? And by the way, he's not throwing the ball down the field. So you tell me as a quarterback, is that lack of confidence? Is it lack of scheming? Can he not drive the ball? Because he's just not right for 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm with you on this. I don't know how to properly articulate it. I'll guess on something. I think he needs something just to kind of balance this offense out. You look at Zeke's carries, it's like 12 a game, 13 a game. I think to get him going again, they need 30 carries a game. I think they will go back to play action. I think they kind of settle the ship a little bit and get Dak confident again by getting some easier looks. It's a really complex offense. There's a lot going on in the passing game. Sometimes even the best quarterbacks in the league, and I'd put Dak in that category, he's one of the better ones in the league. They need it simplified at some point. And I'm not just being the old curmudgeon, hey, you got to run it as much as you throw it. But I do think when a quarterback's going through a little bit of a funk, you just need to balance things out. You need to settle the ship. You need to give the ball to your backs more. Let your offensive line go forward more than backwards. And then lean on the play action game, because those are typically cleaner looks. You're going to get more defined looks in the secondary when you're running the ball than play action. I think you do that for a couple weeks and take a little bit of the burden off getting up their line of scrimmage and making protection checks and hand signaling receivers and route adjustments and all the craziness goes on in the drop back passing game. Just settle it down a little bit, get his confidence back to an all-time high. Then I think he starts feeling better. I don't think he's playing bad. He's just not playing really well. It's somewhere in between there. And to get him playing at a high level that he's going to need to play at, in the playoffs, I do think just going back to some basics, running the football, play action pass is the way to do it.
We know that you can get a little broken in a season, and you can fix that stuff. Kansas City's offense was broken. They're getting slowly back on track. But can you be a finesse team and become a physical team in season? I watch Buffalo, and it's all high-flying vertical stuff, and I'm like, I don't know if you can go from that to a physical football team in a season. You tell me, you played for 15, can you?
No, but here's what Buffalo can do. They can have some downs that take physicality and use finesse to their advantage, and that's by making Josh a runner. And this is what surprises me about that offense, is that they have the ultimate SUV at quarterback, right? He's the ultimate SUV. You can take all the luggage out of it and just get in it with your wife and go 110 on the freeway. Or you can pack it full of kids' toys and have three babies in the back and trailer a U-Haul and go across country. Like, that's who he is. There's nothing he can't do as a quarterback. Well, one of the things they don't use him enough in is this quarterback-driven run game in critical downs in these short yard situations. It's such an incredible tool in the running game in modern day football when your quarterback can run some type of zone or gap scheme and read a guy. And now you have the advantage in the run game, and you can recruit an extra offensive blocker to block a team that may be more physical than you, because you know your quarterback can pull it if they add that extra defender to the situation, and now he can go be a runner. The fact that he's not doing that on a consistent basis in their short yardage red zone packages blows my mind. What was it? I don't know, a handful of weeks ago, they played Kansas City and a bunch of rushing yards. They used him as a design runner. Am I correct on that game?
Yeah.
I think it was a Kansas City game. They need to do more of that. That's how they can have a more physical run game without being hyper-physical on the offensive line. If he is not used as a primary runner in situations, third down, red zone, end of game. I just use those three situations. If they don't use him to that capacity, then they're not going to be able to make a deep run into the playoffs.
By the way, I don't remember, you deal with a lot of these quarterbacks. I just watched Justin Herbert, and it's like 30 touchdowns 2 years. Last year he had a battle line. This year he's got a defensive coach and a brand new coach. What was your opinion of him out of college? Because I don't even remember.
So I didn't know a lot. So he did not really go through the high-level 11 process. You know, he was a late bloomer, but I leaned a lot on a dear friend of mine, Yogi Roth, who works for the Pac-12 Network, who spent a lot of time with Justin when he was up at Oregon. The talent was undeniable. I don't think there's anybody that looked at him from a talent standpoint and didn't see it. But just nobody knew his intangible stuff. And Yogi told me, this kid has it. Like, I've been around him. He's a great leader. He's revered by his teammates. He's a hard worker. He does all the stuff that the great ones do. So I leaned on Yogi and was like, hey, this kid's a no-brainer. I didn't know him that well. But you're seeing all that stuff come out in his NFL game. He's not just uber talented. He's also, he has the locker room. He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
He plays big and critical moments. His work ethic is unparalleled. Coach friend of mine, Rip Shear, who coached him his first couple of years, says, Trent, this kid does all the lonely stuff that most players aren't willing to do. He's the complete package. I think we're only starting to see the tip of the iceberg on how good Justin Herbert can be.
Yeah, I'm the same thing. I think, you know, this is no shot at Dak, but I think Dak reached his ceiling pretty soon. I think there's limitations on his arm talent. With Justin, I feel like a little bit like Kyler Murray. We're just going to keep seeing these jumps, like these 15% jumps, and we're going to look up in about 4 years, and we're going to be like, that may be the best player in the National Football League. I'm serious. Well,
I think it's interesting. I'll interrupt you for 1 second, because we're talking about good to great, right?
Like,
or really, really good, or almost great to greatest in the league. The greatest make really difficult things look easy. And I agree. I love Dak Prescott, but it looks hard sometimes, right? Some of these guys, you name the name, they're going through your head. They're very, very good players. They're fantastic players. They're Pro Bowlers. But sometimes it looks hard. And then you just think of the greatest. Whoever in your mind is the greatest player at their position, basketball, baseball, football, golf, whatever it is, they just make the really, 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 really hard stuff look super easy. That's Justin Herbert. That's Patrick Mahomes. That's Aaron Rodgers. That's been Tom Brady for, 73 years in the league. So they do stuff that you can't really articulate, because if you're not great, myself, that was really hard. Like, I did that, but that was really hard. They do it and don't even break a sweat. I think that's really the conversation when it comes when you're trying to differentiate between really good and great.
Yeah. Trent Dilfer, by the way, a podcast, Beyond the X's and O's with Trent Dilfer. Congrats again, Lipscomb Academy. It's a remarkable story. I know it means a lot to you and your fam, and great seeing you.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
You bet. Herbert is just, he made that throw yesterday with a guy bearing down on him. I mean, that's the one thing in the NFL for a quarterback. You're going to throw it, and you know the minute you let it go, you're going to get smoked. And just no accuracy issues. He is an absolute joy to watch. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, let's stick with Justin Herbert and the Chargers, having no problem getting a 37-21 win over the Giants on Sunday. Herbert threw for 3 touchdowns, increasing his season total to 30. That makes him the first player to ever throw at least 30 touchdown passes in each of his first 2 seasons. He's also just 39 yards shy of Andrew Luck's passing yards by any quarterback in his first 2 seasons in NFL history.
He's a little Andrew Luck, but I think without the recklessness.
He feels a little more smooth.
Yes.
It's not as, like, there'd be moments with Andrew, you're like, don't do that. And he got hit so much, obviously, which Herbert didn't have a great offensive line his first year and dealt with that. But that obviously ended up ending Andrew's career. But Herbert is the second quarterback with at least 60 touchdown passes over his first 2 seasons. Dan Marino was the first. He was the second youngest player, 23 years, 277 days, to reach 60 career touchdown passes behind Marino.
I think they're the better team in SoFi. I think it's not recognized yet. I think you're looking, the best team at SoFi is that team. I think the way they're playing, they stole the Rams defensive coordinator. He's now their head coach. I think their defense is coming into its own. I think, and the other thing is, they're really good at wide receiver. I mean, Mike Williams is so big. He's very much Mike Evans. There's just no corners that match up with him. You can stay with him physically, but you can't. His catching radius. Mike Williams is so big. And then Keenan Allen. And now they went and drafted a young kid out of Tennessee, and he's starting to emerge. And they've got really good targets on the outside.
Which is also exciting for them when you know you have the guy.
Oh, it's great.
I mean,
feeling.
It's just a relief. Like, you can just – what other problems do we have? Let's just fix the other problems. We know we don't have to worry about this.
Yeah.
And
you can build your offense based on one person's strengths. You can build everything around that.
And the thing about Justin Herbert is everyone just appreciates him collectively. Because he was just like not the high profile guy. He's so unassuming. I saw this video on their social media a couple months ago where he like always tries to avoid the social media person. Team, and he like finds these different ways to disguise himself and like sneak out of the tunnel and avoid them, and it was so on brand for him. It's great. But they are playing really well right now. They are fifth in the AFC in the wild card race.
Yeah, and not only fifth, but again, when you have a new coach, takes about 12 weeks post-Thanksgiving to get it right. You look at their last 8 to 10 quarters. You know, like we said with New England, Mac Jones, look at their last 16 quarters. You're like, okay, New England's now a top three team in the league. It's funny because a lot of the Vegas guys, a lot of people said the Chargers are the interesting dark horse. We predicted they'd be a playoff team, so they're not that much of a dark horse. But new coach, new system, you got to get people to Thanksgiving, and they are now a handful offensively to deal with.
But also, even though last year you felt like they should be taking a step up, it's not like they were a disaster.
No.
Like they weren't winning games.
They were in every...
But it's not like it was a complete and utter rebuild
right.
that he was walking into. So the 49ers pulled out an overtime win against the Bengals. This was actually an exciting end. There were a couple blowouts there yesterday. This was not one of them.
Great. It was a great, great last hour on TV.
Yeah. The Niners were up 14 going into the fourth quarter, but Joe Burrow connected with Ja'Marr Chase for 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
What an incredible pick, Ja'Marr Chase. Send it into extra time. I mean, whatever Joe Burrow tells you to do moving forward, you got to do.
I was thinking about this. Between Micah Parsons and Ja'Marr Chase, that's the difference NFL, NBA. These college football players come in, and they're like great. They're dominating players. I mean, defensive player of the year, I'd give it to Micah Parsons. I would give him
Yeah, absolutely.
And where
he's getting some talks for MVP right now.
He's unblockable. Whereas in college basketball, because the kids only spend a year there, they come in and they develop into really good players. Like, you're seeing multiple... Rashawn Slater, the left tackle for the Chargers, is borderline pro bowler. Micah Parsons, defensive player of the year. Ja'Marr Chase feels like a pro bowler. Like, that's what college football gives you. Microwavable stars. Heat them up in your offense or defense, and they are ready to dominate games.
The Bengals got a field goal on the first drive of overtime, and Jimmy Garoppolo led San Francisco to a victory with a 75-yard drive.
Good, 6-for-6.
And a 12-yard touchdown pass to Brandon Ayuk. George Kittle was incredible in this game.
Oh,
13 receptions, 151 yards, and a touchdown.
He had an impressive
game out of him.
There were some throws and catches yesterday. Brady had 2 throws that were insane. Mike Evans had a catch. George Kittle, for a tight end, went vertical on one of his catches. I thought it was maybe the catch of the weekend. We are so right now, the athleticism in this league is insane.
Well, George Kittle, I mean, he's so fun to watch. He's like a wrestler, like a pro wrestler
yeah.
playing football, but having him healthy and out there is just a huge asset for him. So Tom Brady reached another milestone in his career on Sunday through his 700th career touchdown pass on the game winner to Bashaud Perriman in overtime. He also broke Drew Brees' record for the most completions in NFL history, so he holds the NFL records for all-time touchdown passes, pass attempts, and passing yards as well at 44 years old. And he is also the favorite of Fox Bet to win MVP this year.
Big TV game. It's him or Aaron, and Kyler could have been in it, but he got hurt for 3 weeks.
Yes, I mean, Aaron is playing out of his mind, and is what he's doing is really impressive considering we know the injury that he's dealing with and all of the injuries that the Packers have. But I think, you know, this MVP conversation hasn't really been a big point of contention amongst the media or fans this year. I think because we've seen so many injuries and we're also still dealing with COVID, and it's a little clunky. So because of that, I think Brady should be the front runner. Aside from his play, he's just been the most consistent.
Yes, yeah.
Throughout the year.
Upright and consistent.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's not anyone's particular fault that injuries happen and whatnot. Like Kyler Murray was looking like he was running away from it before he got injured. It's more important to be healthy going into the playoffs than win MVP. And I'm sure Brady isn't even thinking about the MVP at this point. But again, if he wins the MVP, which he likely will, I think we get so desensitized to what Brady is doing.
I totally agree.
We're just so used to it. We're so used to seeing as we're so used to him winning these things and breaking these records. We're just like, all-time completion, all-time passes. Like, it's insane what he is accomplishing right now.
He had back-to-back throws. I forget the quarter. I think it was second quarter. So he threw a lollipop to Mike Evans. I'd never seen a throw like that. So he faced pressure, and he had to lob a rainbow up. And then he came back and threw a ball to the back of the end zone, mid-back to Mike Evans on back-to-back throws. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I'm not sure, outside of Aaron Rodgers, I'm not sure anybody else in the league can make those throws. We've modified all the rules now to make the game easier for two guys, Aaron and Tom. And it wasn't like they were struggling with the other rules, but we have modified them. They play right. So I always said this about LeBron. The rules in the NBA went away from LeBron. It became much more, he was a freight train. He was a physical power player. He wasn't a shooter. And then the league decided three-point shots are all that matter. And LeBron figured it out about a third into his career. Oh, I'm going to become a reliable three-point shooter. Michael Jordan was never a great three-point shooter until they moved the three-point shot line in for 2 years. He was. They moved it back out, and Michael wasn't. So a lot of times, you know, Westbrook, the league is, the rules have moved away from him, the sensibility. It's a shooter's league. He's not a shooter. He's an athlete. These guys were great, and then they loosened up the rules to be more pro-offense, as Trent Dilfer said. It's unfair. I mean, like, Rodgers and Brady are just chess to checkers almost every weekend.
It absolutely is. But with Tom, he's 44.
It's nuts.
On top of it.
I'm only 12, 13 years older than Tom Brady.
I'm 34. I'm 10 years younger than him, and I had to spend an hour rolling my legs out from all this sitting on the couch. I was sore from sitting on the couch.
Crazy.
Maybe I should eat more avocado ice cream.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we have a month left of football. There's an old saying in parenting, the days are long, but the years fly by. When you're raising kids, you know, every day there's a lot of chaos and a lot of crying and belly aching. But you look up and they're like graduating college. My daughter's graduating college today. So it's like, wow, I'm sending her pictures last couple of weeks. And it's like, man, that just flew by. But the days are long. In the NFL, the weekends are nuts. But in the end, the playoffs are kind of predictable. Is that we know who's good and we know who's not. Vote on the best quarterbacks and the best coaches, the most stable cultures, and they win. I'll give you an example. So let's go to the AFC. I may have a lousy year of predicting, but I said, yeah, the Bills and the Patriots will be playoff teams. They'll finish first and second. Well, it's the Patriots and the Bills. It could change, but we got the two teams right. So we got the two teams right. Could change. And in the AFC North, we said we like the Browns to edge out the Ravens and make the playoffs. Well, right now, the Ravens are edging out the Browns. By the way, that puppy ain't over. Cleveland could still win it. So we got the two teams right. In the AFC South, we said, listen, we think the division's kind of nuts, but we'll take the Colts to win it, Titans second. Well, it's Titans and the Colts, but they're still a couple games away, right? So we got the teams right. And in the AFC West, we got it all four right. We said Chiefs will win it, and Chargers will be a very viable dark horse team and make the playoffs. Well, it's the Chiefs and the Chargers. So in all those divisions, we got all the teams right. The first two teams, not always in order, half the time in order, half the time not, but the first two teams in each division, 8 for 8, we got right. Then you go to the NFC. By the way, so did you most of the way. It's not that hard. So we predicted Washington would make the playoffs and win the division. Dallas would be a wild card team and make it. And, well, instead the Cowboys are going to win the division. And Washington, still today, Washington would be a playoff team. So we got the top two teams right. Let's go to the NFC North. This one we nailed. You know, we said the Lions would stink. The Bears would be uneven. But we picked the Packers to win it. And the Vikings to kind of be in the running for the playoffs. I don't think we had the Vikings in the playoffs. We had them close. They still may be close. They're a viable team. But we got the first two teams right. And then you go to the NFC South. And we said, well, we think this is how the division will work. Right now, we're perfect. 4 for 4. We said the Buccaneers will win the division. We think the Falcons, we said with a new coach, will play well late. It'll take them a while to figure it out, but they'll sneak their way into the playoffs. Right now, Atlanta's close, but we got the first two teams right. NFC West is our big miss. Now, we did have the Rams and the Niners making the playoffs in second and third. So we had the number two and the number three teams right, both playoff teams. They would today. We just had the Seahawks winning it and Arizona a viable four, and instead Arizona's way better than I thought, and the Seahawks are a mess. Some of that's Russell Wilson hurt. Some of it, they don't do a lot of things right. But in the end, 7 of the 8 divisions, and you did mostly the exact same thing. It's not that difficult. This league is not that difficult. Get a quarterback, however you can get him, get an elite quarterback. That's the first thing you got to do to be a playoff team. Second thing is build a fortress around him. Help him. I mean, as good as the quarterback is in Buffalo, they got a bad O-line. It unravels everything. Then build players around him to protect him. Weapons and good. And then draft defensive players up front. Don't worry about safeties, linebackers. Draft guys who make that quarterback uncomfortable and can get the quarterback. And that's mostly what you have here. Good pass rushes, good O-lines, smart coaches, and highly functional quarterbacks. So right now, our playoff predictions... of the 14 teams, we predicted Chiefs, Bills, Browns, Colts, Patriots, Ravens, Chargers. That was our predictions. Now it's the Patriots. We didn't have the Titans in. Chiefs, Ravens, Chargers, Colts, Bills. So we got 6 of 7. We did not have the Titans being this good. And credit to them. They've done it without Derrick Henry the last month. So Tennessee, again, over-delivers, and I undervalue them. Over in the NFC, and again, I think you got most of these right. We said Bucks, Seahawks, Packers, Washington, Rams, Niners, Cowboys. Right now, We didn't predict the Cardinals, Packers, Bucks, Cowboys, Rams, 49ers, and Washington. So we're close. Now, some of this stuff can change, obviously, but it's like I said, the days are long, the years fly by as parents. In the NFL, the weekends are nuts. You take a deep breath, and it kind of turns out. Right now in the AFC, I would guess it's going to be Mahomes against Belichick. Not that crazy. In the NFC, I would predict it's going to be Aaron Rodgers against Brady. That probably, if I would have gone to most fans on the street and said, hey, what do you think is going to happen? Belichick's a little bit of a surprise, I would admit. I just didn't think it was going to be. I didn't think Mac Jones would be this competent. I didn't. I thought he would reach his ceiling fast. I didn't think he'd be this. So, but it's, there you go. So, now, can I pick a game to save my life? No. That Browns loss yesterday was painful. I'm still not over it.
The Bills one, I think, was worse.
My wallet felt that. Fight back against aging with M-Drive. We have M-Drive Lean, which is a protein powder, reduces, you get weight loss there. And then check out mdriveformen.com, free shipping. Don't let age define you. mdriveformen.com.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.